In it goes from Ever Banega. It's gone right the way through as well. And then hooked on, and brilliant save. David De Gea, reflexes. Stephen and Zonzi said her, I think.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Flicked back by him, by Mercado.
Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I am your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight, in our World Cup Player Spotlight, we bring you Mr. David De Gea from the Spanish national team. Joining me, as always, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and special guest, correspondent from Goal magazine from Madrid, Mr. Ben Hayward. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. Ben, I want to start out with you. Obviously, being based in Madrid, we can all figure out how you would be covering David De Gea, but give us a little background as to your coverage and your extent of your coverage of the great goalkeeper.
Yeah, you know, Joe, obviously I've watched De Gea over the years from when he came through Atletico Madrid. As a really exciting young goalkeeper, and then, you know, moving to Manchester United and, you know, taking a little bit of time to settle and adapt, you know, in the Premier League, but going on to become one of the great, great goalkeepers and, you know, perhaps the best goalkeeper in the world right now. It's been a pleasure to watch him. And of course, you know, he's had to wait patiently for his chance with Spain, but now the undisputed number one, and, you know, he deserves it, he deserves his chance.
And rightly so. I mean, given the performances that he's had, and really early on, ever since making his professional debut for Atletico Madrid at just 19 years old, you know, it really kind of makes sense as to why, you know, he's been basically, I guess, the successor of Iker Casillas on this national team. But going forward on his, essentially just the biography of him moving forward, obviously he's won Europa League with Atletico Madrid, won the Super Cup, won the Premier League with Manchester United, an FA Cup, an EFL Cup, three Community Shields, and a Europa League as well with Manchester United. But also above that, this season, heading into the Premier League, he won the Golden Glove. But on the national team, he hasn't had many success for the senior team, given the chances that he's had. But he has won the European Championship at under 17 and twice at under 21 level. So, I mean, I'll go to Joe real quick. I mean, you know, we've seen great goalkeepers come from Spain. You know, we've seen the likes of Pepe Reina, Iker Casillas, Victor Valdez, and many other players. I mean, you know, it's safe to say that there really isn't any competition for De Gea moving forward, given that he had to wait for his chance ever since the retirement of those players, especially Casillas as that number one goalkeeper. I mean, you really have to think to yourself that this player, and only at 27, you know, he's definitely going to have a lot of years ahead of him, and a lot of World Cups being played for at this Chris national team. You would think that he is the undisputed number one for many years to come, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. You know, you're just looking at the list of players that are with him on the Spanish national team moving forward into the World Cup. Obviously, Kepa, who's over at Bilbao, and Pepe Reina, of course, who's from Napoli, now going over to AC Milan. You rewind back just 4 years ago to the previous World Cup. David De Gea actually went to the World Cup, but he was the third choice behind Reina and the great Iker Casillas. You always think back to his age, just like you had mentioned, Rob, 27 years old. Imagine if he had been born, you know, 3 years earlier, where he would be a ripe 30 right now. He'd almost fall into a window where you were just completely in the shadow of one of the greatest goalkeepers of all time in Casillas. So it's really his time to shine, and unfortunately for De Gea, I think his window is narrow career-wise because of his age. He's not able to jump on the scene here at 24, 23. I mean, he did, but he was jumping onto the scene behind a huge legend. Ben, I want to throw that question over to you because I think personally for me, his window is a little on the shorter side than what most goalkeepers would get, and it's an unfortunate consequence of the great players he's had in front of him.
Yeah, that's right. You know, as you say, you know, rightly so. I mean, Iker Casillas was a legend for Spain. He was around for so many years. And De Gea, you know, at 27, he's not going to go on and win 150 plus caps, you know, like Casillas did. But, you know, at the same time, you know, he has coincided with the tail end of Casillas' career. You know, in many ways, retired him, you know, from the Spanish national team. Let's remember that Casillas was keen to keep on playing for Spain, and it was Julen Lopetegui that decided that he was going to end the debate. De Gea was his number one, and he didn't want to bring in Casillas if it meant him, you know, being on the bench with all the press speculation that was going to bring about, should he start, should he be number one, you know, should De Gea be number one, that kind of thing. So, you know, De Gea is undisputed now, as you said, rightly so. He's not going to perhaps win him as many caps as Casillas, but, you mentioned, you know, it's been tough for some other keepers. You know, think of Victor Valdez, for example. He was a fantastic goalkeeper for so many years and yet never really got the chance to be number one because Casillas was ahead of him. And De Gea has earned that right. He's had to wait patiently. I think he's gone to Manchester United, and I think that's really improved him as well as a goalkeeper. And yeah, totally deserved to see him, obviously, from the Euros 2 years ago and now at this World Cup, a first World Cup as a starter. It's going to be really exciting to see how he does.
Certainly. And you bring up a great point in Victor Valdez and the fact that he was, you know, his career is truly in the shadow of Casillas, where De Gea is just outside of it. I just want to follow up with a question to you, Ben. Can we look at De Gea right now and consider him to be the best goalkeeper in the world?
Yeah, I think so. I think... it's difficult, isn't it, Joe? Because now there's definitely a question of taste when it comes to goalkeepers. What kind of, what do people look for in a goalkeeper? Do you look for a guy like Manuel Neuer or Ter Stegen, you know, who are very good with their feet? That's very, very popular in modern goalkeepers. Or do you look for a great shot stopper like Jan Oblak, who has to be, mentioned in the debate as well, or David De Gea? You know, also, you know, depends on how these teams like to play, you know, style-wise. I think David De Gea is also very good with his feet. But at Manchester United, perhaps, his role is not quite like we see, you know, Ter Stegen at Barcelona or Neuer for Bayern. But yeah, you know, for me, he's got to be one of if not the best goalkeeper in the world, then one of the top two or three.
Agreed. Now, we like to look back since the last World Cup, and like we had mentioned, he was the third choice on the 2014 side. Fast forwarding since then, he's, like we had said, he's pretty much risen to be the best goalkeeper in the world, arguably. And he's the number one choice in Spain. He's the number one choice with Man United. He's PFA Team of the Year for 4 years running straight. He's the only player at Manchester United to be selected to the PFA Team of the Year in that time. He was the 17-18 Gold Glove winner in England. But everyone reflects back to his failed transfer to Real Madrid a couple of years ago in 2016. Rob, I want to throw this one over to you because, you know, the great goalkeepers for Spain play in Spain. They play for Real Madrid for the most part. They play for the Kings team. So from this standpoint, is this something that's going to, quote-unquote, tarnish his Spanish legacy, or do you think he eventually makes that move over, especially having a good showing in this World Cup?
Well, I think given the history that he has had in his career, obviously, you know, he played for Atletico Madrid, you know, one of the big rivals, and obviously won titles over there. Compared to Real Madrid, it's certainly going to be interesting to see because, you know, that is the number one rumor, I think, heading into this World Cup, of him moving to Real Madrid because, you know, Keylor Navas isn't getting any younger. And I think De Gea is at that perfect age to, you know, I guess be the fundamental marketing plot that Real Madrid is trying to do to bring back a Spanish goalkeeper that they haven't had since. It's going to be tough because, you know, you also have to realize the competition he is facing here in the Premier League, you know, with big teams like Manchester City coming up, Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, and Tottenham as well. You know, I think he would be more determined for another challenge as to winning another Premier League or something to really establish himself as one of the greater Premier League goalkeepers in this modern era. It's going to be tough. I don't think it will affect him personally heading into this World Cup because of, it is his first World Cup as a starter. You know, he did play under the shadow of Casillas and Valdez in the last World Cup. So it's going to be tough. I mean, you know, Ben, I mean, looking forward, I mean, you know, does this really affect a player like De Gea, you know, giving that, you know, obviously given a great World Cup that he has with the Spain side, I mean, we all know what they're capable of doing. Do you feel that perhaps affects a bit of De Gea's mentality heading into a big tournament and of course, the expectations of him and his team?
I don't think so, Roberto. You know, I don't think it's going to affect him at all. You know, he's already been asked the question at Spain training pre-match, you know, out in Russia. And, you know, he's basically kept the door open. He said, you know, you never know what's going to happen, what can happen in football. Even, you know, the reporter made a joke about the fax machine, you know, because obviously Real Madrid couldn't push the move through because the fax was sent too late. And he kind of laughed it off, you know, and he said, you know, I'm fully focused on Spain. And, you know, I really believe that. And let's remember that 2 years ago, of course, going into Euro 2016, there was not only the debate over whether it would be De Gea or Casillas to start for Spain, but there was also a big sexual scandal, which turned out to be totally false, you know, hanging over De Gea's head right before the tournament. It didn't affect him one bit. He just got on with his job and, you know, he was excellent in that tournament. So I really don't think that the rumours are going to affect him. I do think that he will end up at Real Madrid at some point. Keylor Navas is a very, very good goalkeeper. If you're going to improve on Navas, you've really got to bring in one of the very best. And, you know, De Gea wanted the move in 2015. It didn't happen. He got back on with, you know, signing a new contract at Manchester United. Knuckled down. He's been absolutely fantastic ever since. Honestly, I think he's not going to let any of that affect him going to this World Cup. But it'd be interesting to see what happens after the World Cup.
No, definitely. And, you know, heading into the World Cup, obviously, Julian Lopetegui has a big, big challenge to do, and really a team full of talent. But, you know, focusing more on De Gea, I mean, obviously, we know what he's been capable of doing, you know, as a really an elegant and athletic goalkeeper. You know, he's known for his outstanding reflexes, his agility, his stop-shopping ability between the posts, you know, his acrobatic saves. That dives and spectacular saves. You know, obviously, in addition with his goalkeeping abilities, you know, he possesses excellent ball control, vision, and distribution with either foot, which enables him to start attacking plays from the back, you know, kind of like a sweeper keeper, similar to what Manuel Neuer is doing at Germany and at Bayern Munich. So, Ben, I mean, going into my next segment, you know, how does the player, and the player being David De Gea, you know, just integrate in such a wonderful team like Spain, and really the coaching style and formation that Lopetegui is trying to employ?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I think moving to the Premier League really helped De Gea. You know, there were question marks initially, you know, about him. He was a fantastic shot stopper. He's always had those remarkable reflexes ever since, you know, we saw him emerge as a teenager at Atletico Madrid. But there were question marks at the beginning at Manchester United. I think he's worked hard on his game. He's a much more commanding presence now in the area. You know, he's worked hard to be better on crosses. You know, and I think that the Premier League has made him a better goalkeeper. And, you know, you mentioned the sweeper keeper thing. And, you know, for the way that Spain play football, a keeper that's able to, you know, that's comfortable with his feet, able to come out of his area and distribute, you know, is perfect for Spain and the way they play. So I think that that's something that's important as well.
Definitely. Now, Joe, I mean, going into my next question, I mean, obviously, this is a talented Spain club with players like, you know, it's a who's who, basically, you know, Piqué, Ramos, Busquets, Iniesta, Asensio, David Silva, Isco. And then you look at De Gea. I mean, you know, given the importance that perhaps all these players have, and in particular of how they've given enough to their national team, I mean, do you feel that there is a reasonable argument that De Gea is perhaps the best player on the Spanish national team? I mean, obviously, it's a tough question to answer, but do you feel that there's some sort of argument being made that perhaps he is the best player on this team?
You know, I guess when you evaluate it by position, right? So we look at the midfield. Who is the best midfielder on this team? Is he better at midfield than De Gea is at goalkeeping? And I think when you look at it with those glasses on, I think you can make the argument that, yeah, he is, by position, the best player in his team. You know, everyone would make the argument for David Silva. People would make the argument for Diego Costa. But at the same time, when you look back on it and you relate it to the position that they play, I think for me, he's the best player when you look at it through those eyes. Ben, I want to throw that over to you because that's an interesting concept. You know, we don't think about goalkeepers being the best player on the team, but when you factor in their ability in that position versus the other players in their positions, you almost have to concede that David De Gea might actually be the best player on the team, don't you think?
Yeah, perhaps, John. It's a very difficult thing to compare, isn't it? You know, a goalkeeper with the other positions. But given the criteria that you use, you know, we've said already that if he's not the best goalkeeper in the world, you know, he's one of the top three. You know, I still think that there are some other players on that team you could perhaps put in that bracket as being, you know, top three in the world in their position. And I would say, you know, Busquets, definitely in his role, for me, he's the best in the world at what he does. You know, perhaps Iniesta as well, even though coming to the end of his career, he's still got to be one of the very, very best attacking midfielders in the world. But yeah, De Gea's up there. Obviously Ramos as well. Spain just have an embarrassment of riches now. They've probably got one of the best in the world in every position. Could even throw Carvajal into the debate as well. Piqué, just wherever you look, Isco, so much quality, isn't there? And the players they left out of their squad. Just fantastic. But De Gea's got to be up there for sure.
It's funny because we talk about the golden age of Spain, and we really consider that team that won the 2008 Euros, the team that won the 2012 Euro, that sandwiched the 2010 World Cup. And we kind of talk about them as the quote-unquote golden age, but this is almost an extension of it. So I want to kind of compare David De Gea to his golden age counterpart, and even some of the other greats. We talked about Victor Valdez. We've already talked about Iker Casillas with two European titles, a World Cup win, Champions League. I mean, he's won it all. Andoni Zubizarreta was also a great goalkeeper before Casillas came on, appearing in four World Cups from 86 to 98. So where does De Gea rank right now in terms of the Spanish goalkeeping greats that we've thrown around so far?
Well, I think it's still a bit early in the debate to talk about De Gea alongside Casillas and Zubizarreta, just because he has a relative lack of experience. Compared to those two guys, they've got in excess of 100 caps each. They've played multiple major tournaments. In the case of Casillas, obviously Casillas won the World Cup, but also two European championships with Spain. And, De Gea has it all ahead of him. He's only had one major tournament so far with Spain, the Euros a couple of years ago. And now, obviously, the World Cup. I do feel that Casillas stayed a little bit too long. He was a wonderful servant, a wonderful captain for Spain. And, he's one of the best goalkeepers ever. So it's going to be very, very difficult for De Gea to surpass Casillas, but he has it all ahead of him, and it will depend on not just how he does, but on the success of this team. Like I say, I feel that Casillas stayed a little bit too long in the end, and Del Bosque, I feel, was reluctant to make that change. We saw Xavi Alonso, David Villa, some of the other guys step down after the last World Cup, the disappointment in Brazil 4 years ago, whereas Casillas carried on, and I feel that probably he should have gone with the other guys. It was time for a new generation, really. But De Gea has been patient and waited for his opportunity. And he's couldn't be at a better level going to this World Cup. So he has every chance to go ahead and be compared in the future to those greats.
Sure. Now, Rob, I want to throw this concept at you. Aside from winning the World Cup, which obviously elevates any one player to a new level of greatness when you raise that trophy above your head. So aside from that, for David De Gea, what kind of things are you looking for out of him at this World Cup that will start to elevate him into the Casillas, into the Zubizarreta type world that we're talking about?
No, I'm saying that, yeah, I mean, De Gea definitely is someone that really is looking forward to hopefully a successful first World Cup. And I mean, given a good performance, that he could win the Golden Glove and of course, lift that World Cup trophy. It's going to be tough as well, because you kind of have to look at the competition that he has to face. You're going to face your Messis, hopefully, or your Ronaldo heading into this group stage in their first game in the group. Your Neymars, your Eden Hazards, your Harry Kane, all these wonderful, wonderful attacking players that the entire world is really looking at. And I think it's up for De Gea to really prove to himself that he could be one of the greats that Spain has ever produced. And of course, winning that World Cup would only elevate him to the success of being such a talented player. It's going to be really tough. I mean, it's going to be something that we would think that, such a player like him is able to do. And, he's still early. He's only 27. I mean, hopefully if he maintains his form, we get perhaps 10 years left of De Gea at a really top level, and hopefully on the Spain national team as well. It's going to be really tough moving forward.
So, you know, I do want to close out with one more question to you, Ben, tonight. When we look at David De Gea and the Spanish national team and all the greatness that we've talked about, what does David De Gea need to do at this World Cup, especially given where they open against such a huge opponent in Portugal? What does David De Gea need to do to help Spain win this World Cup?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look back at what Casillas did in 2010 to help Spain win that World Cup, you know, Spain were a wonderful team at that tournament, but they didn't score a lot of goals. If you remember, it was mostly 1-0 wins all the way through the tournament. And, you know, even in the final, obviously against Netherlands, 1-0 in extra time. And what Casillas did so impressively in that tournament was that, you know, he produced when his team needed him most. You know, you think back, sorry, Roberto, but, you know, the penalty against Paraguay, for example, he saved. You think of the save against Robben in the final, absolutely crucial moments. And we all know that the big games, any games, you know, really hinge on these big moments. And Casillas always seemed to be there and produce when Spain needed him most, and in particular in that World Cup. If David De Gea can do something similar this summer in Russia, then Spain have a great chance of going all the way.
Sounds good. And we look forward to, you know, what he does and his performance for not only for the Spanish national team, but for him, and to see if it affects his future. So, gentlemen, I do want to thank you both for joining me tonight to help me break down Mr. David De Gea as he journeys to Russia for the 2018 World Cup in our World Cup Player Spotlight. Again, this was Joe Uccello for Low Limit Football for This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. Thank you for listening and good night.